A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show, he's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Oh, here we go. Is this a special?
That's a fadeaway.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Oh, yeah. NFL Pro Days are back. Oh, yeah. Cam Ward. Whoa.
Yesterday was Miami's Pro Day, and Cam Ward, who is probably going to be the number one overall pick in this year's coming draft, quarterback at Miami, he made a really cool throw. Now, he wasn't wearing a helmet, and he wasn't wearing shoulder pads, and there was no one rushing after him, and he did it while basically fading towards the sidelines. But trust us, guys, that was one of the greatest throws you'll ever see. And a lot of people are probably saying right now, didn't Zach Wilson do something like that? Hasn't every single quarterback at a pro day done something that's kind of memorable? Like Johnny Manziel getting thwacked with a broom? Yeah.
Full pads, though.
But he was in full pads, you're right.
That's what he did different.
Cam Ward, not in full pads.
Soft boy.
Honestly, that throw was impressive, but I'm not impressed. It is really funny this time of year where the draft people are really getting into it, and I feel bad for Lance Zierlein, who probably at this point has done enough evaluation of NFL players who are about to be drafted, and he's like, God dang it, I just want this thing to actually start. But nope, we got pro days that are supposedly going to determine a little bit more whether or not we like a specific prospect. So Cam Ward, projected number one overall pick, had dinner with the Tennessee Titans on Sunday before yesterday's pro day, and everyone was there. Everyone. And we're not just talking about the usual suspects, the head coach, the GM, the team president. They had their in-house TV and their website production team there. This is pretty transparent. The Titans are not exactly the craftiest organization out there. Let's not think too much of Amy Adams Strunk, spawn of Bud Adams. You know, like the Titans as a staff record label and as an MF and crew, all they have is the Houston Oilers throwback uniforms. That's like really the only thing of value they own. So they're bringing everything here because they need to get people excited about this god-awful franchise again. And Will Levis and his eating bananas, peel and all, with mayo in his coffee, that just wasn't enough. So, Cam Ward, he's ready to go. And after yesterday's pro day, did you see what he had to say? Apparently after that cool little throw that you heard him make, which was so cool, oh my gosh, he told the Titans this in an interview that he did with Cameron Ward of the NFL Network.
There was a throw that you did on the roll, on the run, where you hit a dime, and it looked like you turned to the Titans brass, Chad Brinker and Mike Gorenzanzi, and said something to him.
Yeah,
what did you say to him?
I said, I'm solidifying it today.
And you solidified it today.
Said.
Locking
so,
it up.
They heard you? They laughed
I made
bit.
Sure they heard me. So.
They finally got to see me throw in person, said Cam Ward. That should be all they need to see. At the end of the day, if they want to give me the pick or not, I'm just going to be happy with whatever team I go to. I just want to play football. So, okay. The season has begun. Draft season. Talking about quarterbacks with a lot of confidence for no reason season. I don't know who's going to be better. Could be Cam Ward. Could be Shedeur Sanders, who apparently wants to go to the Giants. Hell, it could be Quinn Ewers, who's visiting with the Colts, Raiders, and Cowboys. But I've got a question. What would it take over the next couple of years? What do we not want to see from C.J. Stroud that's going to potentially having us be, I don't know, once again operating with a wandering eye, perhaps hungry eyes. What would it theoretically take for C.J. Stroud to lose us? And I know the Twitch, you guys don't count. You're already out on C.J. Stroud. Congratulations, you guys are such hipsters. But what's it going to take for us to once again have hungry eyes? Hungry eyes. Eric coming. Dirty dancing. Hungry eyes. What's it going to take? Is it possible for C.J. Stroud to turn us off entirely from him? Is it possible? Would it take a lot of podcast appearances with Micah Parsons? Perhaps another tour of China where they're spilling NFL secrets to our biggest enemies, the Chinese, Sean? What would it be that gets us off of the C.J. Stroud bandwagon? Because I still think there's a lot of people on that Stroud bandwagon, no matter how disappointing last year was.
Yeah, I think he needs to either play way worse or make us like him way less. Because I think even if he just puts in another year like last year, I think you won't have people like jumping overboard being like, oh my God, I wish we had Cam Ward. Unless Cam Ward is awesome. But I think that C.J. Stroud just has enough. I mean, there's still Jags fans that defend Trevor Lawrence. Like, let's just like,
that's true.
Let's just say like the baseline for this is our guy, we're defending him, like QAnon exists. Like you have to, there, a team just gave Sam Darnold $100 million. Like there's levels to this, like, man, I wish we could change quarterbacks game. And I think C.J. Stroud has a way to go again, unless he does start doing podcasts and we're all just kind of like out on him as like a guy. But I mean, even on those podcasts, it's like annoying, but he's not like a bad dude or anything.
And honestly, I never found them to be that annoying. I know others perhaps disagree because I felt that he's not giving answers that are boring. Like I felt he actually gave interesting answers as opposed to just saying milquetoast crap. Like he had takes. He likes Matt Stafford better than Aaron Rodgers. I was like, that's a take. And I like that take. It's aged well.
He had basketball takes.
He did.
He had like Kobe versus Steph takes.
Right. I mean, he's got some good takes. The podcasting did not bother me as much. It's an interesting point that you raised. Generally, people are not out on the young quarterback as a consensus until the guy's actually gone. I mean, Deshaun Watson didn't want to play here anymore before all the, you know, sexual misconduct allegations at massage parlors. And people still were like team him. The people were basically acting like he was the walking embodiment of an ASPCA at the arms of the, I can't do it. You're in the arms of the angel. Fly away from here. You know, people were acting like poor little Deshaun Watson had it so tough. And there's that video where J.J. Watt and him are walking up the sideline and J.J. Watt smacks him on the ass, which you might have liked. And he says, hey, I'm sorry. I let you down. And people were still like, oh, yeah. You know, at the Texans, like they were taking Deshaun Watson's side over the Texans' side.
That was like the popular opinion was like, like Deshaun Watson is right for asking out of this clown show.
So I guess for us to have hungry eyes for a quarterback against Sean, we're going to need Stroud to do something like bad.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is in his, character.
Or completely stink. Like Zach Wilson stink.
That's so hard to imagine.
It is so hard to do because, again, like you can just go around the league like I don't know. People, quarterbacks that you're not like in love with, but if you ask their fan base, there's at least going to be maybe not a majority, actually probably a majority, but not a overwhelming. But like, they're just 60% of Jags fans probably still believe in Trevor Lawrence.
God, that's too many.
Yeah, like there's probably Kyler Murray stands. Like it's a lot of Justin
Kyler
Herbert.
Murray makes sense though. Herbert makes sense though. Lawrence, like, his brain is scrambled, right? I mean, and he wasn't very good before it got scrambled. Yeah, I'm honestly surprised Jaguars fans took such offense to Azeez Al-Shaair because it's not like the year was going so well. I mean, they're running out of people to blame that aren't named Trevor Lawrence. They blamed Urban Meyer. Now they're blaming Doug Peterson. You know, they've blamed a lot of people except for him, and that's generally how it works with a young quarterback. The last people to see that the young quarterback sucks is generally the entire city in which the young quarterback who sucks plays, which is very funny.
Or it's like there's defenders, 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 and then it becomes like so overwhelming. Like Zach Wilson with the Jets, where like there's like Jets fans that believed in Zach Wilson, like the when he came in for Aaron Rodgers, who got hurt.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
When he was the backup and he came in, people were like, that's we true. Still believe in it. Has to be so overwhelming that you suck that then the tide turns, and then after you leave, then everyone is united on you sucked the entire time, even though that wasn't the case.
He had like one good half on Monday Night Football, and people were
they won that game that Aaron Rodgers
they did win that game.
Popped his Achilles.
He didn't play that well in that game.
They won it like 16-13.
There was some other game that he played in, and people were like, Chiefs figuring game. It out. Yes, that's it.
Chiefs
it
on Sunday
Chiefs
night,
on
right?
Sunday Night Football, yeah. Correct. And everyone's like, oh, he's figuring it out. Maybe he's got something, huh? But yeah. He didn't. But people did it with Justin Fields, too. Justin Fields has had an alarming amount. He still does. Alarming amount of defenders.
Well, the Steelers' record with Justin Fields, they said it was so good.
Yeah, it wasn't Justin Fields who was the reason for that. It was the Steelers' defense. So that's the question. What's it going to take for C.J. Stroud to start being doubted and for us to start looking at all these young quarterbacks again like we're so very used to here in Houston? Because, you know, outside of a couple of years of Deshaun Watson – and year one is C.J. Stroud. It's been average at best quarterback play.
Yeah, 2010 Matt Schaub, all right?
Above average, fine. Fine. He did put up good numbers for what it's worth. If you like fantasy football, you liked Matt Schaub. From the 832, someone says Davis Mills. Mills rising? You look really good in the preseason last year.
Yeah. Is Mills? Where is Mills? Is he still on the Texans?
He's still here, dude.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's it. That's his
job to lose. No, I thought some team would swoop in and trade a second round pick for him.
One of the best backups.
How awesome he is, you know?
He's one of the best backups in the league.
Yeah. I mean,
one of the backups in the league.
One of the backups in the league.
He's one of the backups in the league.
I mean, is there a $100 million difference between him and Sam Darnold?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Honestly, I think I'd take Mills over Darnold.
at the price, yes.
Yeah, that's true. The price is a big thing. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What is a dead giveaway that someone isn't a Houston local? Fun little article I saw on Reddit that we'll dive through that. And if you want to weigh in on Cam Smith, who should be on the Astros opening day roster, you can. 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Stay put.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD, 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Cam Smith should be on the Astros opening day roster. He hit a triple yesterday. And I'm curious as to what it would take for us to start thinking about quarterback prospects again. I hope we don't have to talk about quarterback prospects anytime the rest of my career talking about sports. I really would prefer it just be C.J. Stroud because I cannot stand talking about the draft leading up to the draft. I think everyone believes themselves to be an expert because they have the ability to study other people's scouting reports without actually putting in the work themselves. And that means that you have an opinion based off of somebody else's opinion, which means it's not even your opinion. It means you're just parroting things. But what would it take for us to all of a sudden start thinking about the draft class, or are we just with C.J. Stroud going forward? Are we always going to feel pretty happy about what we got? Doesn't always work out for those guys, and there was a time where we definitely looked at Trevor Lawrence with a little bit more respect. Perhaps not me, because built different. Never really bought into him at Clemson. Never really bought into him as like the godly prospect everyone made him out to be. From the 713, ooh, this is a fun question. These sports talk shows are talking about how the Rockets' zero playoff experience will hurt them against teams. Does that apply to Oklahoma City? How much experience did they have, really? Well, they have more than the Rockets, but it's not a lot more than the Rockets.
Yeah, they made the second round last year.
Right.
Which, if we're doing this thing, which we've done the entire time these two teams have rebuilt, OKC has kind of been 1 year ahead of the Rockets.
Yep.
And so losing in the second round for this year's Rockets would not be surprising.
No.
That's actually like the high end.
If they make it to the second round, the season is a resounding success. And because of that, you go into the playoffs. I think it's going to be very difficult to leave disappointed with the Rockets' playoff performance outside of getting swept. That's really it. I think if you get swept in the first round or worse, you don't actually make it into the actual playoffs. You're a play-in tournament team, and then you get eliminated there. Yeah, we'll be disappointed then. Expectations have changed with just how this season's gone. I mean, they're the 2 seed again, which is insane considering how poorly they played for about a month after, in January, taking the NBA by storm. But that's what happens when you win 9 games in a row. You find yourself right back in this spot. 1.5 games up on Denver, the Lakers, 2.5 games up on them, 2.5 up on the Grizz, and doing a little math, I don't care, 4.5 over the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, and I think the Grizz and maybe the Lakers, or that one might be up in the air, but they have the tiebreaker
against the Grizzlies. Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, anything short of, like you said, like I would even say getting swept, even if they like lose in 5 and it's clear that they like don't belong. Just anything where it's like not clear that they don't belong or that the nut. How about this? If Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks are your 2 best players in the playoffs, that's bad.
Yeah, that would be depressing.
You need a strong playoff showing by Şengün, Green, or Thompson. That's what you need. That's what you need to feel like you belong. If Jalen Green becomes a playoff performer type in the 1 or 2 series that he plays in, I think you can build off that going into next year. That changes how you think about Jalen Green if he can be the best player on your team for a playoff series. Anything like short of that, if you know, he stinks it up. Also, Şengün doesn't look good. Like, that's where it gets scary.
10 games left the rest of the way. Hawks tonight. Jazz Thursday in Utah.
Ew.
Sunday at Phoenix. Monday at the Lakers. The 2nd of April against the Jazz. April 4th against the Thunder. One more game against them. April 6th at Golden State. The 9th. At the Clippers, who are hanging around. I think they're the 7 in the West right now.
Yeah, playing mix.
The Lakers again on the Lord's Day, April 11th. And April 13th, they wrap up the year against the Denver Nuggets. They've got, let's say...
Other than the Jazz games and the Hawks game, it's basically all against teams that we're talking about.
Right. So these last 2 games...
And the Suns.
Assume
Suns
they win it. Are they going to have, now at 46-26, are they going to have 50 wins? Can they win 4 of their last 10 games? It's going to be tough. It's definitely not a foregone conclusion.
They're going to get 50 or 49. Like, you know, they're not. I'm not thinking 54 is in the mix.
Like 51, I think, is the number.
Yeah, and a lot of that will depend on who's playing those last few games of the season as, you know, these more veteran teams that they're in the playoff mix against, maybe they're sitting guys. Maybe, you know, second night of back-to-back for the Lakers so you don't get LeBron and Luka or something. That's why the end of the season's always weird.
Yeah.
Is you get weird, fluky kind of stuff like this.
I was on Houston Reddit, Sean, and I saw a Reddit thread titled, "What's a dead giveaway? Someone isn't a Houston local." Someone, I guess, had asked it on the Facebook. This person said, for me, it's how they pronounce Kirkendale. Did I get it right? I did. Good boy, Paul. Good boy. Right? I did get it right, right?
Kirkendall.
Damn it. Damn it. I thought I had it. Oh, I thought I was so local. Listen, I am carpetbagger trash. I get it. I get it, but I'm your carpetbagger trash, right? I've definitely tried to adopt the city as best I can. After all, I'm on a rodeo committee now. And I went to the rodeo, like half the days? I don't know. I lost count. It's nice to not have that in the back of my mind anymore. Like driving all the way down to the NRG area, parking in the OST lot, walking because the bus takes too long to get to NRG Arena, sweating out of my pants. By the time I get there, because I like to walk fast and I hate slow walkers and it's like darting in and out of people, thinking about throwing an elbow or two. What's a dead giveaway someone isn't a local? This person also suggested how they pronounce F-U-Q-U-A. Is that Fuqua? Or is it something else, Sean?
F-U-Q-U-A.
I'm guessing it's a road. Is it? Yeah. How is it pronounced?
I would think.
Not Kirkendale. I'm assuming if it's like you don't know how to spell Kirkendale, it's probably not pronounced Fuqua.
Yeah. I would also guess that. I don't know. I see that and I think of the director of Training Day.
Ooh.
Anthony Fuqua.
There also, if you remember the Immaculate Reception?
Yeah.
Franco Harris, he catches the pass that bounced off of Jack Tatum or a Steelers wide receiver named Frenchy Fuqua.
There we go.
Frenchy Fuqua. Full circle, everybody.
No, I don't know what that street is. I've never heard of
it. I haven't either. Dead giveaway. Someone isn't a local. They can't differentiate between on Bel Air and in Bel Air. Ooh, I like that one. Another one. A dead giveaway. Someone isn't a local. They don't know that everything you would ever need is somewhere on Westheimer. That's true because Westheimer goes forever.
Yes. And a lot of stuff you don't need is on Westheimer.
Right. Too many things you don't need.
A lot of things you don't need.
Like half of the uninsured motorists in Houston.
I was going to say. Most of them are driving cars next to you. You don't need those. But no, yeah. If you ever need pole cats, it's right there.
Pole cats is right there.
It's right there.
So is Treasures. It's technically on Westheimer. It's where Westheimer splits between West Alabama and Westheimer. What else do we have? A dead giveaway, and you can send yours in, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. Dead giveaways that someone isn't a local. If they ask what time of year the humidity becomes bearable. Yeah. Yeah, this year's been a rough one, too. Like, this year, it is.
Yeah.
We haven't even had a second to enjoy like brisk, cool air. I can't remember it.
No. I mean, I think it was nice. Was it last weekend?
Yeah.
Like, two weekends ago?
It was so windy and all this pollen's in the air.
Yeah, it ruins everything. I guess if you don't have pollen allergies, it was nice.
If someone asks, what's the best walkable neighborhood? Yeah, that's true. The best walkable neighborhood is the Woodlands. Like, that isn't that insane? Like that area, or the what's that called? Like, is it the walkway, the riverway?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, you know, like Cynthia Woods, Mitchell Pavilion, yeah. Okay. Like that general area, like that is truly the most walkable area. Downtown kind of is, but downtown's, you know, it's getting a little stabby. It's getting a little homeless, you know, a little salty, a little salt of the earth. A 20-minute drive is too far. Dead giveaway, someone isn't a local. Yeah. Is anything not 20 minutes?
I was going to say, everything's 20 minutes away.
I got to say, for everyone who complains about the traffic, 20 minutes isn't that bad.
No. Especially, like, you can go, again, you can go, like, anywhere in 20 minutes.
Yeah. Mispronouncing humble. Got it that time.
There we go.
They don't know the differences between the Carrabba's. Yeah, that's fair. There's Johnny Carrabba's, right? That's the fancy one. And then there's the actual chain with very good bread. Carrabba's is way better than Olive Garden. I'll fight you on that.
I don't think I've been to... Or maybe I've been to Carrabba's once. I don't think I've ever been, though. Or I don't have, like, a strong opinion on it.
Dead giveaway. Someone isn't a local. Refusal to consider an allergy regimen. Yes. Yes. My regimen lost. Why are there so many Ultimas with paper plates? That is a dead giveaway. Someone isn't a local. That was fun. Nominate yours. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 975. Kugblaze asks, did Paulie walk the waterway with the Woodlands girl? No, we did a downtown trip. We went to Clark's. Clark's, fun date spot. You ever been to Clark's downtown? Clark's is that weird-ass Austin bar that looks like, you know, something out of a nightmare starring Sid from Toy Story. You know, just like a bunch of bombed-out-looking stuff and things that don't seem to belong. Clark's is definitely where you go if you want to annoy someone from Austin and just continuously say, this is just like Austin. We got some fun nominees. We'll read some of them on the other side. Wow, damn, holy crap.
text line blew up. Did not see that coming. It's Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stay put.
This is ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Indeed, it does. We'll get back to dead giveaways. Someone isn't a Houston local. On the other side, some fun contributions on the text line. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. This bummed me out. It bummed me out to learn that per Tom Brady, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick were never going to last together forever. Doesn't it bum you out? You know, I'm a child of divorce. It affected me greatly. I now have commitment issues and probably am never going to be able to pick one person because I'm always going to be looking for something that doesn't exist. But at least for a lot of my life, I had this marriage. I had Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And then Tom went out for a carton of milk, cigarettes one day, and he never came back, and he was in Tampa Bay, which is a place that I've lived before, so it was kind of familiar. I got to visit on weekends, but it's not the same. Per Tom Brady, tension had developed with Bill Belichick, and the only way it could be resolved was with a split. And I guess he put together some sort of checklist where he was measuring things 1, 2, 3 on 25 different variables about where he would go. Money was not even a factor for signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He just liked the weapons that they had to work with in Bruce Arians. I hate seeing this. I really do. I'd like to believe that there was a world where the two of them would have worked together forever. And maybe Belichick and the Patriots and Brady get one more Super Bowl.
It's not your fault, Paul.
No, it is.
It's not your fault.
It is my fault. I thought that Belichick could make it work. No, like, honestly, it's like my biggest regret is that, you know what? They'll figure it out. Nope, that was so stupid. It's so dumb. I'm never going to get over that. Like, I call him my Lord and Savior, and then I actually questioned him. I doubted Thomas. I was the doubting Thomas for Thomas Patrick Edward Brady. Oof. Steelers fans aren't sure Aaron Rodgers will fit the Pittsburgh Steelers culture. Well, he's learned how to disappoint with the Jets. Of course he'll be able to fit right in with the Pittsburgh Steelers. What have they done? Ever?
Paul, they're one of the greatest franchises in NFL history.
Yeah, but like in my lifetime.
Yeah, one for the thumb.
What are they? Okay, so that now that I'm crying about, you know, what the Patriots used to be. Like,
yeah.
What are the Steelers known for? Being like 1-15 against the Patriots the last 20 years? Give or take. Might be exaggerating a little bit. I cried that one game. It was on Halloween. The Patriots were in the middle of a 21-game winning streak, and the Steelers won. But he's not going to fit the Pittsburgh culture. Guys, you don't have one. You're just boring.
Yeah. It's like I'd rather have Aaron Rodgers, who might not fit the Pittsburgh culture, than the culture fits they've been rolling out there the last few years. Like, yeah, cool. Kenny Pickett fits in the culture. He stinks. How about that?
Yeah. Like,
can we get someone who's good, then worry about it later?
Russell Wilson fit the culture.
Yeah.
Justin Fields fit the culture. Mason Rudolph fit the culture. I mean, come on, guys.
Oh, I don't know if he fits the culture.
What, because he's different? Listen, Rodgers is still better than all those guys.
Yeah. It's like he's a perfectly fine quarterback. Yeah. That's all you need.
You could definitely do better, but you're not going to be doing better this coming year.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys can't.
Yeah.
Not now.
Well, we won't fit our culture.
The Steelers love the smell of their own farts a little bit too much. Like, and then they always act, like Steelers fans will tell you, like, Mike Tomlin's one of the best coaches in the NFL, but I would fire him if I had the choice. Like they have this weird back and forth about it. And no matter how much Ryan Clark blows smoke up that guy's ass on ESPN, like, there's a very real limit to where the Steelers can go. You need a better quarterback. The only way you're winning is if you play the lottery with Aaron Rodgers this year.
He's not a culture fit.
Shut up, God. Get over yourself.
It is crazy. It's crazy. And who's the guy? Oh, Hayward.
Cam Hayward.
Yeah.
Yeah, sign. You better. If you want to play for the Steelers, you better sign now. I don't care. Either I don't have
you
to recruit
him.
You
want to be a Steeler or not.
No, you have to recruit him. Like, please stop acting like the Steelers organization is one of those organizations that gets people to join on its own. Like, people used to say that about the Patriots. Guess what? Tom Brady's not there anymore. And when Belichick was there, that wasn't the case. So the Steelers, who have won again, what? One Super Bowl? Two Super Bowls in the last 20 years? Like, oh, that's enough? Two Super Bowls since the 70s? Oh, consistent. They never fire a coach. Oh, like, blow it out your ass, Steelers. Oh, he's not going to fit the culture. You guys are mediocre. You're what, the eighth best team in the AFC? Like, get over yourselves. J.J. McCarthy is happy that the Minnesota Vikings have not told him he's their number one quarterback. He said that in an interview with Kay Adams. Wonder if he was flexing a little bit to try to impress Kay Adams. Like, flexing that, hey, they haven't really officially named me starting quarterback.
I gotta go out and earn it, Kay.
Yeah.
I don't want things handed to me.
Right. You got to show Kay that you got Riz.
Yeah.
But
I enjoy the chase.
He really enjoys the chase. But here's the thing. I mean, J.J. McCarthy knows he's the Vikings' number one quarterback. Yeah. They let Sam Darnold go, and they made the playoffs and had 14 wins with Sam Darnold.
And they didn't sign anybody.
Right.
Obvious to, yeah.
They don't need to tell you that, J.J. Michigan men, the Steelers, let's just talk about brands that, like, can't get enough of themselves. And I like Michigan and the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry, but Michigan, relax. Relax with your Russian draft dodger, who's your best player on the basketball team.
And your pervert assistant coach.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That, by the way, you dropped
that. They fired him, though. They did fire him.
Yeah, you dropped that story Thursday of March Madness, trying to kill it.
That is a news dump, right. Because Wolverine's basketball.
I remember that pervert.
Where were you when you heard about the guy who was
sifting through...
Apparently one of the greatest hackers in sports history.
That guy should work for the NSA. I don't know what he's doing on the coaching staff.
He is a computer whiz. No, I bet that could be a TV show, right? Catch Me If You Can, yeah. Adjacent. Or
it is the end of Catch Me If You Can.
What's the... Not Suits, because Suits...
Oh, White Collar.
White Collar. It's White Collar.
The other USA show, yeah.
Right, exactly. It could be White Collar, where there's like a thief and he gets brought into the service of, what, the FBI? Never seen the show.
I think so.
Yeah, there's too many USA Today shows.
Burn Notice? It's not like Burn Notice, is it?
Burn Notice rules. Ryan Lost in Texas knows. Burn Notice rules. When you've been burned... I used to know the open to that show by heart.
Not enough shows have, like, this is the plot to the show. Like,
right, the dialogue.
If you've never seen the show before, this is all you need to know. And now the episode has started.
I might watch Burn Notice when I get home tonight.
What is it on?
It's definitely on one of the apps. I bet it's on Amazon Prime right now. Because I think a couple of the other USA shows are on that. I know Monk is on
Netflix.
Looks
like Hulu right now.
USA was a really good show. Channel.
Yeah,
USA had some
Monk
bangers. Psych! Yeah! Another good one. Yeah. Psych crawled so Netflix could run. Hot take.
Yes.
And I guess AMC. AMC really took over from USA.
AMC was like the, like, more, their dramas were a little bit more serious.
Breaking Bad, Mad Men, yeah. And then they had The Walking Dead, but that didn't count because that was different.
It was good for like three seasons, or like four seasons.
But the ratings were insane for all the seasons. All right, one last story around the NFL. Brandon Cooks is smiling through the pain. He's a Saints wide receiver now. He said he wants to be a leader of a great room of receivers in New Orleans. I'm the archer. Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed. What a name. I love that one.
That is a great name.
I think he wears number 20 as well, which is also kind of cool.
He has like
wide receivers.
Running back number, yeah.
And Cedric Wilson. That's a pretty good receiver room.
It's not bad.
I don't think you're the leader of that room. It's Chris Olave, Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
Also, he said Derek Carr is a tough cat and a great leader.
That's not really, like, that's not a big compliment. He's tough, and he's a great leader.
A tough cat.
A tough cat. He's a tough cookie. That's the only way it could have been worse. Because he's a tough little cookie.
That would be an insult, just a little bit of one. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call and to text. What's a dead giveaway someone isn't a Houston local? And we're just 2 days away from Astros opening day. Alex Bregman, days away. In our countdown, we're going to talk about the man making all the decisions for the Houston Astros, because there was a feature piece written about him. Some fun Dana Brown facts. Stay put.
Loaded Rain Rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Got something to say to Paul?
Paul Gallant, what the hell is wrong with you?
I want to hear from you. He's negative about this person, negative about that person. Come on, dude.
Join the conversation by dialing or texting the HRNP listener line. Now back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Found a fun Reddit thread. What's a dead giveaway that somebody isn't a Houston local? Junior Broncos, in response to this, said, Paul, you are a colonizer. Our culture is not your costume. No, this is my home now. This is my home. Paul Gallant is Kirkendale Boulevard. Is it Boulevard?
I think it's a road.
Damn it. Son of a bitch. Son of a bitch. I'm never going to get it right. I'm trying to think of a boulevard off the top of my head, and I couldn't think of any. A Houston area boulevard, because I wanted to be like in the television show Entourage. I wanted to be like Vinny Chase saying, I am Queens Boulevard. Anyway, some thoughts, because we were trying to figure out how to pronounce Fuqua, and I'm sorry about that. It's actually Fuqua. Okay. Kirkendale. Fuqua. You're not from Houston if you don't know how to survive in the Houston heat after a hurricane. That's true. You might be out of power. It's called get a generator. A lot of the people on the Twitch will tell you, you're responsible for your own electricity, not CenterPoint. Well, it would be nice if CenterPoint, like, you know, was better. Huey in Springs says, if someone asks, when will the potholes be filled? Yep, that's a sign that you're an out-of-towner. Wow, the water in Galveston is so brown. Definitely an out-of-towner. You just accept it for what it is. And try not to get in it, and maybe you wear some latex, you know, condom on both of your feet when you get into the water. Just to be safe. That's it. What is a kolache? Yeah. I imagine out-of-towners would be like, what's a kolache? Kolache? Kolache.
It's also, like, not really what... Like there's some debate about what's a real kolache and what isn't.
Frushka's, which is on 71 on the way to Austin, they have real kolaches, which are supposed to be filled with fruit. The kolaches that I see people get at Shipley's are really just giant pigs in a blanket.
Yes.
And I don't think there's anything else in them, right? Like, you can add cheese if you want, but it's generally just...
Or, like, they're like anything, like a breakfast burrito, where there'd be, like, eggs or jalapeno.
Oh, okay. So you can add a little bit more. Because, generally...
Cheese, yeah.
Generally, it's just a hot dog-sized meat empty...
It's a pig in a blanket.
Pig in a blanket.
It's a pig's in a blanket.
Mm-hmm. What's a dead giveaway? Someone... is not a Houston local. If someone asks, how's downtown nightlife? Yeah, not great. Not great. Clark's is fun, though. I like Clark's. Bad News Bar? Huh? Dean's? Cherry Bomb? Frank's Pizza? Just throwing out random names. Cut and Shoot. If you don't know where Cut and Shoot is, man, you ain't local. It's a little town up by Conroe. Texter says you can only imagine how it got its name if you Google it. There's a count if it's outside the wall.
I was going to say, like, if you're from Cut and Shoot, you might not be from Houston. Like,
yeah.
That is so far away.
Yeah, Cut and Shoot, I think Conroe is not Houston.
No, it's Conroe.
Conroe wants to be Conroe, too. They have a lake. Yeah. They actually have nice water, relatively, compared to here. If you don't know what screw is, if you call a feeder road a frontage road. I've never heard anyone say frontage road before, but every sign says frontage road.
Yeah, or like if you're on like Google Maps or something, yeah.
What's a dead giveaway? Someone isn't a Houston local. Someone says, Paul, you need to go take a walk on Sunnyside. Very beautiful part of Houston. I think that's sarcastic. Does this person want me to get mugged? I think that's being sarcastic. Nothing against the fine folks at Sunnyside. But it does sound like one of those misleading names like Greenland, where you go there and it's not exactly what you expect.
And Iceland. Where's it, right?
Right. Iceland's green and Greenland has ice.
Yeah.
Dead giveaway, someone isn't a local. They talk about Syracuse nonstop. Okay. Well, I don't talk about it that much. I don't talk about it that much. But whenever this person hears it, it's like I'm saying it the entirety of the show. We are 2 days away, Alex Bregman days away, from Astros opening day against the New York Mets. Gimme that bone.
Another year, another inevitable AL West title.
For the fourth year in a row and the seventh consecutive full season, the Astros are the AL West champion.
We're counting you down to Astros opening day 2025 on March 27th.
It's a lot of people that count us out early. We don't quit. We got grit.
We are built for this.
Let's go!
Chandler Rome did a feature in The Athletic about Astros GM Dana Brown. Some interesting tidbits. Per a colleague of Dana, quote, the biggest thing there is, Dana has no ego, end quote. Dana Brown, no ego. You know, to this point, I actually agree with that. But the way that he talks is rather bombastic, which lends you to believe that with some of the promises and declarations he's made, like, hey, Kyle Tucker's playing here and getting a new contract. Alex Bregman's going to finish his career here. Some of the things that he has said has set himself up for failure. And this feature piece highlights that over time, Dana Brown has learned, I guess, to dial it back. I mean, I'll believe it when I see it. He said, that's part of becoming more GM-like. You really have to watch what you say because it means a lot more coming from a general manager than it does from a VP of scouting. You learn on the job like any other, but I do wrestle with not being a straight shooter. Dana Brown, not a straight shooter? Interesting. I would be lying if I said I didn't. I feel like he is a straight shooter. I feel like sometimes to his own detriment.
I was going to say, like, we're always like, no, dude, lie to us.
Right. He's very confident in some of his optimistic looks at the future, for sure, that haven't come true. But no, he has been at times a little bit too forthright, for sure. More from Dana Brown. It's really difficult for me to not be a straight shooter because I'm such a straight shooter. Actual quote. And I wear my emotions on my sleeves at times, especially being from the Northeast. Did you know this? Dana Brown is a proud New Jersey native.
I did not know that.
I didn't either.
I had no idea.
Dana Brown is Dana Brown, just without knowing anything about him. Does he strike you as a North Jersey guy? Does he strike you as an extra on The Sopranos? Does he strike you as someone who, like Mike Tirico, might, you know, claim, like, I'm actually Italian?
It's harder for Dana Brown to claim Italian.
With a little bit, yeah, because you don't have the Italian.
His last name doesn't end in a vowel.
Is he from South Jersey? Is he Philadelphia? Does he throw a little Delco accent on him from time to time? Is he Jersey Shore? Does he secretly get blowouts and not tell us about it?
I think he feels more North Jersey.
Yeah.
Than South.
I would imagine closer to Newark. The rest of New Jersey is just woods and bears. It's like the highest capita of bears in the United States of America. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's like all woods after you get past Newark and the Jersey Turnpike, which just smells. And then there's the Jersey Shore and stuff, too. But he's a proud New Jersey native. I would never have guessed Dana Brown was a New Jersey guy.
No. I don't know. I until you asked me this question, I never even considered, like, where is he from?
Mm-hmm.
But I would not have guessed New Jersey.
I wouldn't either. I would have guessed California. I don't know why, but I would have guessed California. He is a proud New Jersey native. New Jersey's too proud of themselves. And I say that half my family's from South Jersey, specifically, like outside of Philadelphia. New Jersey's got a little bit too much state pride. You guys don't even pump your own gas.
Where's New Brunswick?
New Brunswick.
Is that north?
Sounds middle. Could be wrong. See. Do a little map.
He went to it's right in the middle.
Right in the middle?
Closer to north, I would say.
Okay. It's like Trenton-ish.
North of Trenton.
Okay. By the way, per this interview, Dana Brown's running the ship. Now, obviously, Jim Crane has to sign off on certain purchases, but Crane declined 3 interview requests this spring. He only did the one on the club's radio broadcast. Said Brown about Jim Crane, he's really allowed me the opportunity to be a GM. You go to some organizations, there's a GM, a president, and you have the owner, but being able to go directly to the owner and have a conversation about what you want to do and for him to understand and have confidence in your baseball eye, I think that's a welcoming thing for me because he trusts me. That is true. For better or for worse, Jim Crane, I do feel, trusts Dana Brown. I am curious about what Dana Brown thought about potential long-term deals because this is a guy who, with the Atlanta Braves, signed guys to long-term deals. Maybe that does change for Cam Smith or some other young players, Hunter Brown, once some of those Astros contracts that are unmanageable are off the books. I'm Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes behind the glass, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN975. Cam Smith, put the man on the opening day roster. Please, 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 please do it. If you got a reason to stop him, I think you're wrong. And I challenge you. I challenge you to a verbal duel. Stay put. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston.
ESPN 97.5.